Activia offers a range of yogurts which are a delicious way to look after your gut health. From the fruit range with carefully selected ingredients to no added sugar and 0% fat offering, as well as a cereals range, there's an Activia for everyone. Made with a unique blend of 5 ferments, creating an irresistibly creamy texture, each pot of Activia is a source of calcium, making it the perfect addition to your daily routine. Activia helps support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Folks, I'm looking forward to today's episode. It is one that I have struggled with over the course of the last 6 months. And even though it's got better, I'm dying to know more and more about it. Lower back pain is the bane of the office worker. Too long sitting amongst a host of other causes leads to untold amounts of distress and pain. My own was caused by lifting a big log that in a way that I shouldn't have lifted it. And I had 6 months of pain afterwards and I'm dying to find out more about it. What can we do about back pain? How can we change our lifestyles to avoid it? What's the best way to sit? How active should we be? And lots more. I am delighted to say that I'm joined by chartered physio who also has a PhD in biomechanics, Owen Everard. Owen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Carl, thanks so much for having me on. Really big fan.
Owen is sitting really properly. As I talk about sitting, I'm looking at him and his posture is absolutely perfectly straight and proper.
Well, we've got a fancy studio here with about 5 cameras. So
we do. It's very important to sit properly.
I'm doing it okay.
That's for sure. So, okay, back pain is incredibly prevalent across the country, isn't it? Like there are so many people struggling with it. Both those who are active, probably like myself, and those who sit a long time, back pain can present for anyone, really.
100%. Like in the Western world, 85% of us will have back pain at some stage in our life. And of those 85%, 30 to 35% of those will have reoccurring back pain like time and time again. So like it's basically something that's going to affect nearly all of us. So it is, and it's a thing that we can kind of prevent or we can really try limit its damage. So really excited about the talk.
So backs need movement.
Yeah,
that's probably a fairly good place to start. That by being sedentary is one of the big risk factors for back pain.
100%. So basically, if you want to keep your back stable and say everything, you want to get good core stability or the trunk to be stable, there's generally 3 type of things that work. The first is the passive system. So that's the ligaments, the joints, the discs in the back. They're called passive because you just have them there. They just give you the support. But with that then, there should be the core muscles. So you have the muscular system to enhance that support and the nervous system to kind of tell you when you need to dial up and dial down that support. Unfortunately, with sedentary life, a lot of the muscles kind of switch off and our awareness of when we're in a good position changes. So what we need to do is if we're more active, we're keeping the core muscles working more, which essentially takes the pressure off the ligaments, the discs and the joints of the back, so we don't injure those. Because essentially all back injuries are overload injuries. It's generally the disc, it's the ligaments or it's the joints that are kind of overworked and overloaded because the core muscles aren't working correctly or we're not moving appropriately through like the hips or the upper back. And so the lower back is just doing too much of the movement.
Okay, so a strong core, and you know, people, they say that all the time in like my yoga class, my yoga teacher says it every week, how important the core is for your back. But it really is that, it really is very important for preventative health to have a very strong core.
Oh, 100%. And the second thing, if we are sitting a lot, moving well through the hips, so something like yoga, like Pilates, like anything generally, but just teaching those key tenets of keeping the back stable. Because basically, right, there's this framework with the body. It's called the joint by joint approach. And what it means is that every joint has one primary function, either to be mobile or stable. So the ankle, if you think about it, can roll in any direction, should have good mobility, should be able to move through there. Knee is a hinge joint. It should only flex and extend. It shouldn't buckle in or out. The hip is a ball and socket joint, should have good movement. The lower back, we always hear about core stability. We shouldn't move excessively in our lower back. The upper back, good mobility, and so on. What can happen with sedentary life is we kind of reverse those. So we sit for a long time, so our hips get very stiff and our ankles can get stiff. So as a physio, the the common injuries I see are knee and lower back by a mile, because they're joints that aren't designed to move in certain directions, but because we're kind of stiff through other joints, we tend to move through them. So, you know, if you're in a gym, if you're lifting and you don't have like adequate mobility through your hips, you're going to then round at your back. So it's really important to have two key things in preventing back pain. One is to work on the core stability, which I think we all know about, that if those muscles are working, they're taking pressure off the joints, the ligaments and the tendons. But secondly, then to emphasize to move correctly through the hips, because if we're moving through the hips, then we can afford not to move through the back, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's that full body kind of prevention.
Yes.
From the ankles all the way up through all the joints for preventing back pain, or even enabling the back to be as mobile as possible.
Mobile and stable.
It isn't just back work. It's everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it all works as in a chain. So if one area is too tight, it means that you move excessively through your back. You know, if I spend 3 hours doing core stability work, but I'm stiff through my hips and there's like €100 note on the floor, I'll just bend through my back, even though I've tried to prevent that. So that's a big element of it, but also working it in as part of a whole overall thing. So doing your bridges, working on like your balance and stuff like that, yes.
And you've mentioned it a couple of times about stiff hips. How do people know? So people are listening in, they're in the car or they're in work, maybe sitting quite poorly, although you can guarantee that they're sitting better after listening to us chat.
Yeah, it's always good that we remind ourselves. And we can talk about how to sit.
How do you know if their hips are stiff?
Generally, people do have, if you can't, when you're moving, like say if you put your hand on your back and your stomach and you were squatting, can you go down without your back completely rounding?
Oh yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's a good one to do. When, you know, the world's greatest stretch, so if we're in a kind of plank, high plank position where our hands are on the ground, can you bring your foot up so that your toes are in front of your knees? If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if you're in a high plank position, your hands are underneath your shoulders, and you want to be able to bring your foot, your outside the hand?
Outside the hand up, and then land where your foot is ahead of your knee. That will kind of tell you of that like 90 degrees hip range of motion.
Now, folks, there is a challenge.
Yeah.
As you listen in to us, bring that one home, or bring that one into work, or bring that to your yoga class, because I'm absolutely going to try that.
So, can I do another one then as well? Sorry. One big thing I always tell people, you nearly assume, if you're sitting for a lot, you can nearly assume you're going to have like, say, tight hips like the piriformis. Get a hockey ball, bring it to bed. If you're reading your book, sometimes it can be hard to remember how to do like, do your core, or it's like, oh, I forgot those exercises. Have the hockey ball in the bedside locker, bring it in, you put it in the middle of the bum, you turn your foot outwards and just roll around till you feel that sore spot. That will release off those muscles in the hip. And it's like very easy to do. I do it every night, just 2 to 3 minutes as I'm reading my book, you know, job done. And it's just that little bit of maintenance.
And you might want to explain to your partner, folks, why you're bringing the hockey ball into the bedroom and into the bed, because they might look at you a bit weirdly. I heard it on a podcast. But do try that thing, that test for hip, because we've mentioned it so many times. I think it's important for that hip flexibility. So your straight arm plank position, which is hands underneath your shoulders, your back is parallel to the floor, you're holding your plank. Can you bring your right or your left leg, take a pick, outside up to the same position that the hand is in, and that's a really good test for your flexibility for your hips. Try that one and see how you go. Okay, so let's check. We've looked at the kind of the lifestyle component, that sedentary lifestyle is a problem. We know that moving more and enables your back to move more and likely to be stronger. We've looked at sitting.
Can we go on to sitting just for a second, right? If you have to, like a lot of us have to sit. If we are sitting, I think there's a couple of key things.
Yeah.
Micro breaks are absolutely massive.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What's a micro break? For every hour you're sitting, you should be standing for at least 1 minute.
Oh yeah.
Like just taking that pressure off the back for that little bit of time makes a massive difference. The second thing is, if you can't stand up for whatever reason, a modified micro break is, for people watching, they'll be able to see, but I'm going to the edge of my chair. I'm dropping one knee to the floor, and my foot is behind me. So essentially like a hip flexor stretch.
Oh yeah.
Now my back is in that like neutral position. It's not rounded. Mm-hmm. And I'm stretching that hip. So we're getting like a little 2 minute stretch on that one hip. I'm going to switch sides 2 minutes, and then I can go back to how I was. The last tip, when we're driving or we're the sound people are going to kill me now that I moved away from the thing. When we're driving or we're sitting, having a rolled up towel, the back, the lower back, the lower back is supposed to be in a slight inward arch. It's called a lordosis.
Yeah.
We just, because of sitting, are in this constantly flexed position in the back, which is putting a lot of pressure on the discs and the joints and the ligaments to a lesser extent. If you have a rolled up towel in the small of your back, so you sit right into the chair, or if you're driving, you sit right back as far as you can go, and then in that small arch of your back, put a rolled up towel, put a rolled up jumper, shove it in there. Even if it's like protruding into your back slightly, if it's fabric like a towel or a jumper, it will ease out a little bit. That will keep the natural arch, the natural lordosis that we want, so that there's even pressure then going down through the back. Those things will make a massive, massive difference if we're sitting a lot.
And you can get, and it's not a product plug, but Pure Cuz used to have one years ago. The back shop in Dublin have rollers.
Yes, a lumbar roller.
They have
the
like
ideal
little Velcro thingy on it, so you can place it on the seat that goes in the back of it and holds it in place.
I have ones where it goes on, it's on my seat the whole time. It's a little arch, you know, like your back support. Like, I would get one of those. Sometimes people say, I have a back support in my car.
Some cars do, don't they? Have the, you press the button and it kind of it extends, or it has like a switch or whatever on it.
I got a fancy car there recently. Just
what did you get? Come on, tell me.
Well, I got a Mercedes E220D. Oh, it's a coupe, but it's lovely now. But I had it has that lumbar support. Yeah. I find it's too slow down.
Yes,
I feel
is.
Like if they're trying, I think if they're trying to make it for everybody, It's a help, but it's not exactly in the right position.
Okay.
Having like your rolled up towel or a lumbar roll would be ideal. Little pillow, something like that in there. It'll just keep the back in that natural lordosis and it'll make a big, big difference.
And does that apply for like an office chair as well?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
100%, yeah. With the office chairs, as you said, they can have the Velcro. You can actually put them on it. But if I was in an office, they would be the things. I'd always have a lumbar roll and I'd just be switching up my position. I'd be going to the edge of my chair, dropping my knee for 2 minutes, drop the other knee, come back up.
Yeah.
You know, every hour or 2 hours, getting up, power walking, you know, to the toilet or to the office. They'll see you just zipping around the place.
Movement, micro movement.
Movement, switching those muscles back on, resetting the back. So the pressure, if you can imagine, if I pull my finger back, that's not sore yet. If I hold that for 8 hours, it's going to be excruciating. We now know if my finger is pulled back, what are you going to do? You're going to just move it the other direction. And that can help reset it. And the more we're doing that, the less overall cumulative stress. And there's been a lot of research to show that those have been able to take, those that take little micro breaks, back pain is no worse at the end of the day than the start of the day. Mm-hmm. Where those who don't take those micro breaks, it's a lot worse by the end of the day. It went up about 3 or 4 points out of 10.
The best one I've always found that works, and I've had back issues for years. My dad has two discs, my mum's it's pelvis issue. I love backs. I'm fascinated with them.
Yeah.
Is a deep squat. But if I go really, really wide in the feet and drop my bum towards the floor.
Yeah, lovely.
The spine seems almost, I can almost feel the release of tension, maybe, something in it. And in like a micro break, I might do that for like 30 seconds and then go back to sitting or standing or whatever. It just seems to release something.
And what that's doing for you is that's getting that deep hip flexion. So kind of getting the movement back in the hips. You obviously are very fit and strong. So those, if someone is doing that, maybe hold something.
Oh yeah, I put my hand in front, I hold like a pole or whatever.
Hold a pole, load. That will allow you keep you the spine.
Yeah.
Well, great thing about backs is I find that a lot of people overcomplicate them. If something feels good and the back feels better, do more of that. If something feels worse after you do it, do less of that. And over time, the back will get better. I know yourself, you had your disc injury and you get that thing of spontaneous reabsorption, which is like, you know, the
bonkers
disc sucks back in and the pain can go, you know, but you do have to be careful with it.
You've naturally brought me onto discs. That's exactly where I wanted to go. So first of all, let's explain to people what is a disc, because people hear about disc issues all the time and they haven't a clue what they're listening to, what they're hearing. So let's bring it right back.
Yeah, and I think people get too worried about discs. Yeah. You know, you hear a disc, it's not a death sentence. So basically, if you can imagine, a disc is like a jam donut. It's got a fibrous layer on the outside and it's got the jam, which is called nucleus pulposa, in the middle. Now, what happens is, if we're sitting or we're bending or we're putting certain strains through, we're like pressing one side of the jam donut down and we're like stretching out the back of it. That's fine. But over time, that back wall is getting stretched and the jam is pushing on the inside. So what happens is the wall on one side gets worn down till where there it essentially tears, and the jam on the inside pushes through the wall of the disc. So if you just imagine like cutting a little hole in a jam donut, squeezing it, and the jam kind of shoots out.
Or chicken Kiev.
Yeah, or chicken Kiev is a great example.
The garlic pops out when you like press it with the thing.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly it. Now, what that does then is that then hits the nerve, and that can cause a number of different symptoms. One can be like your pins and needles or numbness in the bum or down the leg. The other thing, it can just like spasm up the back. And like, I know if you've had back pain, my clients, like when I see them, one of the main things is they're not even overly, they don't like the pain. It's annoying. It's like that toothache. It just really can drain you of energy. But the thing they really fear is the back going into spasm. I've had people who were meant to go to weddings and that back went locked down and they're not going anywhere. So that's the mechanism what's happening, that we're like pressing it and then the disc comes shooting out a little bit, it hits the nerve, and that causes that that either pins and needles or that spasm in the back.
And it's important to tell people that, like, for back pain, it doesn't always present in the back because the nerve runs right down your leg 100%. Into your toes. So on my own perspective, that's exactly what happened to me. And then all of a sudden I had numb toes, outside of my foot was numb, outside of my calf. I could trace the nerve with my finger down my leg as the pain was radiating right the way down. So it was presenting almost like a hamstring cramp, a glute issue in my bum. I went to the physio. I was like, I've definitely pulled up or seized something in my glute. Yeah. He's like, I think it's your back. I was like, no, it's my glute.
Yeah.
And then it's down the hamstring and then it's down the calf. And he's like, no, that's your sciatic nerve.
I was like, ah.
So for a lot of people, they will present with sciatic nerve issues, which is that nerve that runs down the
100%
leg.
100% and the back.
That's all coming from the back.
And the back can be fine, exactly. Because the nerve is the one that's getting hit. And the back, if they don't have that spasm, they're not going to have it. And a lot of times we call it centration of pain. With some people with back pain, what we're looking at is getting the nerve pain moving up the leg. And we're not actually worried until the nerve pain is gone if the back gets sore. So a couple of key things then with disc pain to help people if they have it. How do you might know you have it? Mm-hmm. Generally, disc pain is worse in the morning. You know, so if you struggle to put on your socks or your shoes in the morning, bending is sore. And we'll come back to why that is in a second. The second thing you can do is, for a simple test, is if you kind of curl your back down and then hold the bottom of the seat and push your bum into the seat. If that causes a little bit of pain or your nerve pain, then that's something to watch out for. So just to say in the morning, why is disc pain worse in the morning?
Yeah, because a lot of people will complain with it. They'll wake up in the morning, getting out of bed will be hard, putting on the shoelaces, all of that. They'll just have pain.
Yeah, so what happens is overnight, when we're not standing, the discs are a little bit bigger and they take on extra fluid. Yeah. Okay, so we have it for 8 hours.
It's like an accordion.
Like accordion, like...
So during the day, it compresses, and then at night, it expands.
Expands, exactly. Yeah. So if you can imagine now, that accordion has extra water in it. Now, imagine a water bottle. If that water bottle is full, and I press a full water bottle, the water is going to shoot out. Just like the jam is going to shoot out because there's more pressure in it. It doesn't take that much pushing on it then to shoot that out. So your back is like... Your back and your body are aware of that phenomenon. So what we need to do is reduce the fluid in the disc in the first hour. We don't want to be lifting something heavy, especially with poor technique in the first hour.
Yeah.
So a couple of key things. If you're having your porridge, you can see it on our lovely screen. Put your porridge on in the microwave. Power walk from the microwave to your front door. Just open the door, swing in the arms. There's basically cross chains from your glute, goes across your body into your arm. So if we swing, it's like an X. And it gives that support to it. So doing that, one, it kind of buttresses or supports the spine. Second, it can compress the disc in an even way to reduce some of the fluid in the disc. I have the back aware belt, or with my patients, we do a little 5-minute routine, just like a couple of your cat camels, lying on your stomach, extending your arm, just trying to reduce the amount of fluid in the disc. That's really important, especially if you're going to be driving to work straight away or you're going straight into your office. Even like 1 or 2 minutes of power walking, doing like 2 minutes of little, of exercises.
Like around the garden.
Not even, like, I even know myself. I'm a physio. I know all about the benefits of it. Like, I won't put on my shoes sometimes to go out. It's cold. It's freezing outside. Literally from your microwave to your front door, you don't have to leave your house. You don't have to put on shoes. You do not have to do anything. But doing that will make a massive difference. It sets, you know, that old Irish phrase, too smart, Latin a hibra. It sets a good start as half the work. It sets the disc back to an even pressure. And it's essentially like pouring some water out of a bottle. Now I can press on the bottle and it's not going to just automatically shoot. It has that little bit extra leeway.
Wow, very clever.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so if people wake up like that in the morning, a little bit of easy movement, but rotating the body, so using the
power
arms
walking,
like a power walk.
Like literally swinging your arms as fast as you can, because it's basically the lat, as you know. It's like, but there's also these, like, they're called like myofascial chains. So from the glutes, so we're in a cross position. It just basically causes an X across the lower back, which is like, just, it's like wearing a back belt for a second to give it that support. And it reduces evenly the pressure through the back. And then, as you said, just in that first hour, just be careful how you're lifting, how you're moving. Because the disc is bigger, there's more pressure in it. It's going to like push out more easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
For people who travel a lot then, we've looked at kind of sedentary in terms of, you know, office and stuff like that. People who drive a lot and find they have back issues, should they stop every, you know, if you're going from Dublin to Cork, should you stop halfway, have a walk around?
It depends on how bad the back is.
Okay.
You got to know, these are like pain triggers. So you have to be aware of what like causes your pain and what relieves it. Mm-hmm. So if I was getting up and going from, you know, an hour drive in the morning, I'm getting up, I'm having my porridge, putting it in the microwave, I'm power walking from the front door to the microwave for like the 2 minutes that it's in there. Have that. I'm going to do my 5 minute routine because that's going to reduce it. I'm going to get in the car then. I'm going to have my rolled up towel or jumper or lumbar roll, put that in the small of my back. So that's kind of arching. So now I'm not putting pressure on the back. If that isn't enough and your back is severe, so say like with your one, if you have pins and needles down to your toe after lifting like a log, that is severe. So in that scenario, say if you're like, I do all that and it's still, when I get to the office, my back is really sore. In that scenario, I would like, if you could stop halfway through, again, just power walk for like a minute, it's ideal. If you can get to the office and then you're kind of power walking from the car to the, you know, to the office door, brilliant. You know, so it's just dependent
on
it's
that X idea. Is that power walk, is that X idea?
Yeah, you couldn't do something better for your back. Yeah.
And I have no affiliation with any car brand, so I can ask this question unbiased. Are there any cars that are particularly are renowned for well-supported seats or not?
No, and I like, as I said, I got that, like, my new car and it's lovely and all, but I think just having your own like rolled up towel.
Okay, that trumps everything.
Just have it in your car. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because then you can put it into exactly the small of your back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's going kind of across the seat. So it's straight down. It's
Across. Just enough that it's in that small of your back. If you think your back has to have an inward arch, so something that will essentially push it into that inward arch is what we're looking
for. And there'll be loads of towels put into cars now.
Exactly,
after this
chat.
Last question is based around just general kind of do's and don'ts for minding your back. So obviously how you're lifting things is very important. Lifting things properly is important. The power walk is another one. Any other simple takeaways for people?
Yeah, I think, as I said, really, like working on your core stability, so that opposite arm, opposite leg, having pain-free movement is most important. With tendons, we want to like have a little bit of pain, but with the back, it's about developing a repertoire that's pain-free. Okay, so if you can squat pain-free, drop back down to doing a bridge and some simple core.
Adjust what you can.
Adjust what you can and then build up till we're back on our feet. And then, as you said, like there, that movement is important. So there is always something. It could power walk. It could be a simple core exercise, but you have to develop that repertoire over time, develop that good technique with all your exercises. And over time, if you have good technique and you're developing the core better, you will take pressure off your back. Because a lot of people, what they're doing is they're constantly either in their exercise routine, in their lifestyle. I call it like picking the scab. If you cut yourself, if you constantly rub that, it's never going to heal. So the keys with back pain is identifying the things that are rubbing are mm-hmm. making it worse,
yeah.
and then developing slowly a routine to get that better.
Amazing. Great. If people want to find out more back tips from you, where do you live?
Great. Yeah. So I have this new device. It's called the Back Aware Belt. But we do a free quiz. So if people are wondering, like, what's my back pain? What's it being caused by? If they go to backawarebelt.com/quiz, it's like a 1 minute free quiz. And then we'll give you most likely what's causing your back pain and then a few tips based on that.
Okay. And you're on Instagram?
At backawarebelt.com or at backawarebelt.
Amazing. Owen, that's been fascinating. Thank you so much for coming in. Great content.
And our
listeners will absolutely love that. Folks, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode of Real Health and you're sitting tall and you're getting your tails out for your car journeys from here on in. As ever, you know where we are, at Carl Henry PT on Instagram, realhealth.independent.ie. Sit better, have a good back this week, and we'll see you next week for more Real Health. So long, folks.